I am Jim Graffay. I lead sustainability at Eli Lilly and Company. We're a company that makes medicine. We've been doing it for almost 150 years. We celebrate our 150th anniversary next year in 2026. So I'm thrilled to be with you talking about how we approach sustainability and the strategy of the company.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you joining us. Lilly has experienced, you know, unprecedented growth in recent years and is operating in areas that impact large populations, such as obesity, which is, you know, has gotten a lot of attention in the market. How has this evolution shaped the way the company defines and integrates sustainability across its operations as well as its long-term strategy?
It's a great way to start our conversation. Maybe let's first just focus on why sustainability is important to us, and it may be important to any company. We make medicine, and that takes a long time, and it costs a lot of money, and it requires really smart, creative, insightful people, especially our scientists, to find medicinal treatment for disease. It's quite miraculous. But because of that, we have to operate the company with a long-term time horizon. Our drug development happens over decades, not months or years. And I think that's a lot of what sustainability is trying to get at. Run your company for the long term. Put yourself on a sound foundation to deliver over time, to be resilient against the challenges you face, and to create a culture within the company that helps people bring their best. So we see a real fit on why sustainability should be just how we do what we do. So that's how we think about sustainability in general. Then coming to this moment in time for the company, it's really been remarkable what we've been able to innovate, especially, as you mentioned, in this area of obesity, which is a profound unmet need, has often been stigmatized as being a lack of willpower or a lack of activity. We're showing that this is biology, and that we can put a medicine against this disease and have success shows that this is biology, not a lack of willingness to try. An interesting statistic right now in this obesity space, in the U.S., there are about 3 million patients getting an obesity medicine every month. The estimate is that 100 million Americans suffer from obesity. So we are just at the very tip of the iceberg. So the real germane sustainability topic right now is access to medicines. This medicine is life-changing. How can we get it to the patients who can benefit? And you've seen us do some interesting things. Our CEO was in the White House recently talking about getting these medicines available on Medicare at a very reasonable cost to the patient. We in the industry have created something really unique with Lilly Direct. It was really the first direct-to-consumer approach where me as a patient, I can go online, have a telehealth visit, perhaps get a prescription if I meet the criteria, and actually purchase the medicine directly myself. And about a third of the Zepbound prescriptions are coming from that vehicle. And now we're turning our attention to commercial employers, where we typically get our insurance coverage from the places we work. Interestingly, only about half of commercial insurance covers these medicines. Half. Why don't the other half? These are real benefits for the patient and for the overall health system. So we're now starting to think in more creative ways about how to deal with commercial insurance to help with this. So there's one, hopefully an example of why sustainability is important to us, and at this moment in time for the company, just how important access to medicines is.
How does that work in relation to the supply chain? I mean, your GLP-1 products, because of the demand you're saying and the need for access, you're ramping up supply chain operations and facilities in the U.S. How do you continue to, you know, to apply your sustainability goals to that ramp up, particularly in that therapeutic space?
It's a great question. It's something we're really focused on. So we are, again, at an unprecedented point in the company's history where we're building multiple plants. We've committed more than $50 billion of new investment. And on the one hand, you might say we're taking some greenfield sites and putting manufacturing factories on them, but it's in the service of bringing medicine to humankind. So we think that's still the right thing to be doing. But when we design a plant from a white sheet of paper, it gives us full freedom to design these plants with sustainability from the very beginning. So all of these plants are being designed with high efficiency equipment, on-site solar, LEED principles, which is excellence in development from an energy perspective. We're thinking about the specifics of the location, things like good water stewardship. So it enables us to do this from the beginning, retrofitting an existing plant, which we also do. You may have degrees of limitations on just how much you can do when you're starting from scratch. It gives you a lot of latitude there. And incidentally, we've set some pretty aggressive goals as a company for our environmental footprint. We want to be carbon neutral in our own operations. Think about the emissions that come out of our own factories. And we want to buy all of our electricity from renewable sources. And we're making it by 2030, by the way. So just 5 years away. Interestingly enough, and we're pretty proud of it, over the past 5 years, we've reduced our absolute emissions by 37% as a company while we're growing so aggressively. And we bought 58% of our electricity from renewable sources last year. So hopefully the proof is in the pudding, so to speak, that what we say we're doing with these new plants is actually manifesting in the results.
How do you ensure sustainability remains embedded in the company's, you know, overall decision making, their strategic planning? You know, not necessarily as a parallel effort, but embedded into your business culture. How do you do that? Yep.
It is very deliberate. I started before with the nature of our business that forces us to think in long-term time horizons. I also jokingly refer to my organization as the Department of Sensible Business Practices, because that's what these things are. We have 15 topics in our sustainability strategy. And by the way, I regret that I took this long to say it. Sustainability.lilly.com. That's our sustainability report. We're pretty proud of it. So all your viewers should go look at it. At any rate, we've got 15 topics that we focus on in sustainability. 12 of them are sensible business practices. Take care of the environment, create an inclusive place for your employees, be a good member of the community, care about human rights and ethics and compliance and good governance, all things that just any company, these are the right things to do. 3 of them are specific to us as a pharma company. Global health, access and affordability, and patient safety. Those are central to our mission. All 15 of those, we can draw a direct line between those activities and our business purpose of making medicines. None of those things are distractions, extracurriculars, the things you work on after you finish your day job. They're a reflection of how we do what we do. So I think that's the first part of the answer to your question. Design the sustainability strategy to be a reflection of just how you need to do your work. There's also, I think, an interesting perspective in what isn't on the list. So things like, for example, global poverty or global hunger. I think we can agree those are pretty important topics for humankind, but we can't draw a bright line from those topics to our purpose of making medicines. If we were an agriculture company, maybe global poverty would be a relevant thing for us. So another one of my responsibilities, there's perhaps a natural tendency to want to add more good ideas into the sustainability bowl, so to speak. But if you do that, it can lead to this distraction that you were talking about. This is the extracurricular stuff I have to do in addition to my day job. And we don't want that to happen. We think by remaining tight and rigorous here, these things just become how we do our jobs every day.
It's a good point. Because sustainability efforts are pretty public facing, right? So how do you, like you're saying, there's a lot of layers to it. How do you kind of simplify that process within, you know, your strategies there? I mean, there's a lot of different components, right?
There is maybe an interesting personal story. So this role that I'm in was created 5 years ago as we realized these topics were becoming more important and we wanted to be contemporary with what our stakeholders expect. And at the time, our CFO, he and I were talking about things that I wanted to do. And he said, Jim, I think this will be a good role for you, which when you translate that is, congratulations, this is your new assignment. I hope you enjoy it. And at the time, I was pretty reticent to take the job because my own just personal bias was, this feels like fluffy, extracurricular, do-gooder things that isn't relevant to what we do as a company. I'm a finance guy by training, so I always worked in the kind of operations and competitive part of our business. 5 years later, now I'm a convert. So to your question, how do you simplify and talk about these things in ways that matter to people and get traction? I think my personal experience having come to it a little bit as a skeptic has forced me to think critically. Why are we doing this? What does it really mean to a common sense person? And as I mentioned before, kind of jokingly, this Department of Sensible Business Practices I use that all the time because it resonates with people. What's not to like about taking care of the only planet that we have, or being good to our employees, or operating ethically, or getting medicines to the patients who need it? I think, especially in light of kind of the environment and society today, putting these topics in those terms, it's really hard to say any of this is a bad idea or somehow controversial.
That kind of feeds into the next question. As you've been explaining, as Lilly scales up manufacturing, expands its global reach, how does a company ensure that the growth, like you've been talking about, driven by the goal of serving more people, advances the end game, right? That advances health responsibly while maintaining those sustainability standards?
Yeah, I think there's a couple maybe themes that we're coming back to here. There's the take care of the planet. We have to expand our manufacturing in service of making medicine. So let's be as thoughtful as we can on making more medicine. There's the access question. You know, we say it's a miracle that our scientists are able to invent a medicine to treat disease, and it's a tragedy if that medicine can't get to the patient. So it's coming into our central vision even more so, the importance of access here and the creative things I mentioned in the U.S. And we're even doing things internationally. We're even helping fund in areas that aren't our own therapeutic focus, like anti-infectives. There's the risk of antimicrobial resistance to humankind. We don't make anti-infectives as a company, but we recognize that it's a concern. So we're actually investing in venture funds that are trying to move the science there as well. And then I think the third thing that's really important at this phase of our company's history and our state and society is this concept of inclusion, which sometimes maybe people think it's ironic that a middle-aged white guy is talking about this concept of inclusion. But I view it, again, like you were saying before, in simple, pragmatic terms. We want to have really smart people coming in every day, bringing everything they've got, feeling like they're involved, feeling like they can throw a crazy idea out there and not suffer scorn or, you know, repudiation for it, but rather have it embraced. Maybe it is a crazy idea and we don't do it, but you don't know if you don't try. Well, I think those are the three elements of sustainability that are really at the forefront right now.
Would you say sort of harnessing those elements could feed into the growth model of the future for big pharma, for mm-hmm. bio, you know, for across the ecosystem?
Yeah, I'll take your question maybe in a slightly different direction.
Okay.
And I mentioned before, having come from more of the commercial and competitive side of the business, this sustainability is a completely non-competitive space. I have more interaction with my peers at other pharma companies now than I ever have before. And most of these interactions would be prohibited in most other areas of the companies. So I think we begin with fruitful ground or fertile ground of non-competitive space that invites collaboration and can advance system-wide improvements for all of us. So can we think collectively about access to medicines? Can we think collectively about how, as a pharma industry, we go to our suppliers and ask them to improve their own environmental performance, for example? And we do this, by the way, where we sit down as an industry with our large suppliers with a more unified discussion on the art of the possible and a more unified ask of what we make from them. If each pharma company was asking for something different, that's a recipe for paralysis. So I think there's incremental system value innovation just by nature of this being collective improvement for humankind rather than competitive. And incidentally, that's one of the questions I asked myself when I took the job, that and looking at that list of 15 things, I thought, well, duh, like, is this really what matters here? I'm used to being unique and differentiated, and we need to be talking about something different than the other companies. After 5 years, I've come to the conclusion that the level of similarity in sustainability is because these are just the right things that we should be doing. So they're good business practices.
Maybe in closing, Jim, you sort of touched on some of your achievements so far, or you know, some of the progress the company's making. But how would you say Lilly is tracking towards your 2030 goals? What progress, you know, the progress has been made? What are you looking at to you know, continue that through the next few years?
Yeah, glad to finish on a high note. We're tracking well is the short answer. But maybe a couple of other things to think about there. We deliberately set our environmental goals. We set them in 2020 with a goal target year of 2030, a 10-year window. And we did that deliberately. One, 10 years forces action today. In order to reduce your environmental footprint, you have to do things differently. You have to put different infrastructure in place. And you can't think about that in year nine of the 10-year window and say, oh, I guess we ought to get to work on this thing. So it forces a sense of urgency. The other thing it does is it forces accountability. The people who set those goals in 2020 are still going to be here in 2030 to live with whether we made it or not. Setting a 2050 goal may sound laudable, but that's so far into the future. Are you going to be around to suffer consequences? And it doesn't really take the initiative. So we think we set ourselves up for action just in the way we set the goals. I mentioned the statistics on greenhouse gas emissions. We have a line of sight to get there on 2030 for our own operations and the electricity we buy. So again, as a science-based company, we let the data drive us. We don't tend to set goals by fiat or slogan. We think about the bottom up. And then we have some other goals for patient reach as well, being so important to get our medicines into the hands of patients that need them, reaching 30 million patients in resource-limited settings by 2030. We think we're actually going to get there early. Maybe in conclusion, I would say the strategy permeates the business. It's how we do what we do, and we can draw it to our purpose of making medicines. We think about topics thoughtfully, the 15 I mentioned. We keep score when your viewers go to sustainability.lilly.com and hit refresh many times to drive up my Google metrics. We report on these things. So numbers are your friends, facts are your friends. And we continue to report on the numbers if they get a little bit better or a little bit worse year by year. We've said these are important, so we're not going to change what we measure or where the goalpost is, depending on which way the wind is blowing. And then finally, we're thoughtful in the goals we set. We don't set goals across the board. We set goals for the things that matter, and then we keep score whether we're getting there or not. So I think we're pleased with what we're doing here, and I can say confidently and integratively from coming as a skeptic that this stuff is important to the way we run our company, and I think other companies should give a look as well.